spirits of men.
There are plenty of people throughout the world who are quite educated. Many people have degrees. Many have their PhDs. There are different people who are professors. There are other people who have been promoted to higher offices. But there are plenty of these people who do not have the knowledge of things divine. It is not enough for us to be educated simply according to the world and to exercise our minds, but it is most important for us to exercise our spiritual senses to perceive the revelation of things divine. And that is, as we heard in today's epistle reading from St. Paul, that he had come to know our Lord through revelation. And so we believe this revelation, which the Apostle Paul and all the Holy Fathers had of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we have received this revelation because God himself has also revealed to us that these things are true. And when we become weak spiritually, we cannot perceive the truth of these things. When we become stronger spiritually, the revelation becomes more evident. And our Lord works in us in a more evident way. And so all of us are here because something in our conscience tells us that we have to be in church and we have to be saying our prayers. And everybody here, to a greater or to a lesser degree, has a conscience which tells him that he must continue in the way of our Lord, that he must have things right with our Lord, that he must say his prayers and come to church and so on and so forth. And so that's why it's important that when we come to church to hear the Holy Gospel, we pray that our Lord will give us the understanding of things divine to be able to perceive what is our Lord telling us. And this is something which we say oftentimes, but unfortunately because of our forgetfulness, we forget oftentimes. And so we pray now to understand the message of the Gospel. There was a rich man and there was a poor man. The poor man's name was Lazarus, but we don't know the rich man's name. And this in and of itself is significant because the stress is on the poor man and his remembrance is unto generation and generation. You know that when we say prayers for the repose, we say aeonia eimi, eternal memory. And the memory of this man is in our Lord, but the rich man had turned away from our Lord because he did not see our Lord in his fellow man. Something which we as monastics have to remember in particular. And all Christians, when we offer food, or some type of hospitality, some type of almsgiving, our Lord himself says, you have not done it, if you have done it unto the least of these my brethren, you have done it unto me. So we see then our Lord in our fellow men. So we don't know exactly who this rich man is, we just know that he was a rich man. And he lived sumptuously, and he was rich, and he was not giving, because there was a poor man who hoped to just eat from the crumbs of his table, if it were possible. But what happened to the rich man? The rich man became desensitized. He lost the understanding and the sensitivity of the pain which his fellow man was undergoing. This is what happens to all people when they ignore their conscience. Their conscience becomes weaker and the sin which you commit seems to be of less importance. Whether we are malicious, whether we become angry, whether we are jealous, whether we lie, whether we steal, whatever the passion may be, the more one gives into it, the weaker his conscience becomes, particularly if he is unrepentant. And so this man became desensitized. Seeing somebody suffering every day, it was just a common occurrence for him, a common sight, and he had no pain for this person that he was seeing. And then we have this marvelous scene. The rich man is in torment while Lazarus is resting in the bosom of Abraham. I am the God of the living, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. But the rich man was dead. And whose fault is that? Whose fault is that? Is the torment in hell simply because God is punishing him? Or is it because the man himself, of his own accord and his own desire, turned away from our Lord? Because when we are away from God, there is torment. When we are near God, there is light. For the tormented, that light becomes fire. For the illuminated, that fire gives us light which is unto salvation and warmth. It does not burn. The unrepentant sinner cannot handle that light, and so it burns him. A Christian is warmed by that light. And so those punishments are what people bring upon themselves. And so this rich man then looks up and he sees Lazarus. Now perhaps is the moment where he starts to understand, but he can't really do anything about it, that his actions put him in that spot. But unfortunately, when people are so darkened, that understanding, of course, is not unto salvation. The person ends up blaming God for his problems, being far away. You know, one of the worst things is delusion, deception. As monastics, we've heard a lot about it. We've read much from the Holy Fathers about it, but I think we should sit and stop for a moment and ask ourselves, are we deluded? Are we deceived? Have we become deceived one way or another? Because the sad thing for a person who's in deception is, of course, he can't see himself. And oftentimes the embarrassing thing is that the people around him can see it, but he can't see it because he's in delusion. And once he starts to see it, it's much more disappointing, of course, commensurate to the delusion, so much that it's disappointment when we come out of the delusion, because it's difficult to face the facts that we are not something that we think we are. We've painted ourselves into something, we naturally think highly of ourselves, but is that the reality? Have we gone off somewhere? And certainly if we've gone off, we think highly of ourselves and we're without a qualm just judging our brethren. And in doing so, of course, we're exalting ourselves. We talk about how smart we are. We talk about how educated we are. We talk about how many talents we have, and so on and so forth. And if we're stuck in that mode, then certainly delusion is going to get in, because we've opened a door to the demons to be able to fool us because we have become proud of something. And so this rich man now suffers. He's in torment. But Lazarus is in peace. And we particularly hear that he's in the bosom of Abraham. So the rich man says, Father Abraham, please send Lazarus, because of course he made a connection to Lazarus. He's the man that was his occasion for his rise or fall. Giving an occasion to either rise or fall, and so he fell. And so he saw Lazarus resting with the patriarch Abraham, and he says, send him to dip his finger into some water and at least quench my thirst in this flame. I am tormented. It's beyond description. That's quite a scene. And Patriarch Abraham says, I can't really do that. And he makes reference to when you were living, you had the delights, Lazarus did not. Now you are in torment, and Lazarus has the delights, which are not fleeting. And then he continues his supplication. He says, well, how about if you send him to my brethren? I have five brothers. Maybe if he says a word to them, they'll snap out of it too, because this is a horrible thing. He thought about his five brethren. That's something very interesting. And the patriarch Abraham responds that it's impossible to do that. And the rich man says, yeah, but if somebody comes from the grave, if somebody rises from the grave, then they will believe. And then Patriarch Abraham says something very, very serious, very significant. He says, even if someone were to rise from the dead, they would not believe. Which is particularly what happened with the Pharisees. But not only with the Pharisees. With those who do not accept our Lord, with those whose hearts would become rock because of their unrepentant state. Why are we here? Why do we come to church? We come to try to bring ourselves back to our Lord because we have been distracted and because it's so easy to forget our Lord, especially with the hustle and the bustle which goes on in the world, especially with all the distractions that go on in the world, all the delights which pull us away from God, those delusions that we're talking about, those deceptions, which are only here for a short period of time. They're fleeting, they're going to pass. And so we come to church now, not to present ourselves as some type of righteous person, but we come to church to try to repent. Because our faith is the faith of repentance, the faith of the repentant. Our Lord says, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Are we among the righteous, or are we among the sinners? In order for us to become truly righteous, we as sinners first need to repent. There are many examples, even from the lives of the saints, of people who are in torment, who are in hell. And there have been times when by the prayers of the saints, they have been released. There is a common understanding among the Orthodox that we offer alms for the souls of the reposed, and this helps the reposed if they are in Hades or if they are suffering, and certainly if they are in paradise, it gives delight. And the almsgiving returns also to our own bosom, and we receive grace as well. We give alms on behalf of souls, we commemorate them at the mimosina, at the memorial services, and particularly we offer a prosper. We remember their names in the divine liturgy. There was once a monk who was a bad monk. He wasn't very obedient. He lived according to his own will, and he died, and his elder was quite concerned about the state of this monk, so he prayed. And he prayed and he did a 3-day fast. And so he had a vision where he saw the monk in flames up to his neck. And he said, the monk turned to his elder and said, Father, you know I'm standing on the head of a bishop. And his elder, who was in great distress over this spectacle, who wanted to pray for the release, was so turned up, and he said, even now, even after you see yourself in such a horrible state, you're talking about others. You're talking about how you're exalted. What kind of exaltation is this when only your head is sticking out of this flame? But he was concentrated on others, and he, of course, felt honored because he was standing on the head of a bishop. What a horrible thing. So you see, heaven and hell are for all types of people. There will be those who are simple paupers who will be saved, and there are those who will be prominent who will not be saved, and vice versa. For us now, it is important to take these things seriously, because the Church and our Lord tries to, in a certain way, shake us up. It's as if the Church is grabbing us and shaking us and saying, come on, wake up. Remember what is most important for you. You know, these scenes happen to be a reality, and we don't want it to be too late. So if whatever we have, we should offer to our Lord, to our fellow man. We should give alms. We should pray. We should take our compuscini. We should remember the souls of the repose, and we should remember our brethren. And from our whole heart, we should pray that our Lord forgive us our own sins. Let us not become desensitized like this rich man in our sin, but let us continuously return. As many times as you fall, it says in the prayers of the Church, so many times must you arise. And if we find that we are quite saddened by our own state, distraught, if we find that we are going towards the ways of despondency, let us never lose hope. Because now is the time to redeem ourselves. Now is the time where our Lord gives us. This is the time which our Lord gives us to get back to Him. May our Lord then lead us back to Him. May we receive that light. May that light not be to our condemnation. May that light be to our, for our illumination, and for our warmth, and for our strengthening. And let us not exalt ourselves above measure, but let us always bow our heads before the Lord our God, understanding the greatness of our Lord and the littleness of man, but also understanding that this littleness can be glorified. As the Holy Apostle Paul tells us, of myself I can do nothing, but in Christ Jesus I can do all things. To whom be glory, honor, and worship unto the ages of ages. Amen.